House Bill 1096 has had its second reading.
House Bill 1096 having had second reading, is that for final consideration in our passage? Are there any remarks? Representative Wetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. House Bill 1096 looks fairly simple, and I think it's a pretty straightforward bill. What it actually does is provide some relief or some opportunity for people who are aggrieved by actions taken by others concerning public lands to recover the damages that they could incur. This is a problem especially in and around the Black Hills, and it doesn't deal just with the mountain pine bark beetle, which I'll talk about in a little more detail. It also includes weeds. And the Lawrence County Weed and Pest Board has taken a pretty strong stand on that in a letter that they have sent to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. I'd like to quote just a very short a sentence. It says, "Weeds know no political or social boundaries. While society debates, the weeds continue their relentless sprawl." And I think that's kind of what's happening in this situation in the Black Hills with both weeds and the mountain pine bark beetle, is that we are seeing an ecological disaster in the happening, and we're powerless to do anything about it. Before the House Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee meeting at the beginning of session, we had the South Dakota Department of Agriculture officials come in and talk to us, and the state forester showed us a map. He had several charts and maps, but he showed us one that outlined the areas of extreme fire danger potential in the Black Hills. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not a coincidence that the infestation of the mountain pine bark beetle and the areas identified by the state forester as extreme fire hazard or fire danger in this Black Hills area are one and the same. The area between Sturgis and Rapid City, if you please, you go through on the Interstate 90, you go through a nice little valley there. Back in the hills, just to the west of that area, is where the disaster with the pine beetle is really occurring. And what happens with the mountain pine bark beetle is that it flies, I guess the eggs are laid in the tree. They basically girdle the tree, and then the tree dies and turns brown. Well, the brown trees that you can see in the hills have already been killed, but there's not much we can do about those. It's the green ones that are the problem. Those are the ones that still have the active beetles in them, and sometime in the summer, probably about July, those beetles will mature enough to fly. And without some control, they will continue to expand their numbers, and the devastation on the pine trees could reach epidemic proportions. Now, what occurs with this situation, as or has occurred in the past, is that we've tried to control bark beetles by management, not by chemical means, not by other methods, except thinning the forest. If we go into an area surrounding a beetle infestation and thin the forest, we have healthier trees that can resist the attacks by the beetles, and we're able then to control the beetle. We'll never eliminate it, merely control it. Now, what has happened in the Black Hills, and I refer you, if any of you went to the Forester's social a week or so ago, they handed out a little brochure or magazine article entitled Evergreen, and it talked about case number one, turns 100, and it was dated September of 1999. For over 100 years, we've been managing the Black Hills Forest. And as if you had read that article, you would note in there that management of the Black Hills National Forest has increased the timber production. And I think that in case number one, it has been separately harvested five times. A CCC thinning in the 1930s, a post and pole thinning in the 1960s, actual timber sales in 1977, 89, and 1990. And that is in the area where we first logged in 1899. So I think it's striking proof that management of the Black Hills National Forest is the way to go. But we've had forces from outside of South Dakota intervene in this process that have filed lawsuits that have caused or could cause severe damage to our residents. If we are unable to take action to make these people accountable for their actions, then we will see that continue. We could see a wildfire eventually in the Black Hills that could destroy huge amounts of the Black Hills and cost millions of dollars to deal with, both during the fire and after. We could see the fish populations and wildlife populations suffer immensely, and then the cost to this state to try to replant those areas and rehabilitate those areas is not something that we need to deal with. I think that I will not say a lot more about this bill. I think that this sends a message from South Dakota that it's time we stand up and be counted, that we don't let external forces determine our fate here, and that we can manage our forests and our lands for the best beneficial use of our citizens in this state. I encourage you to vote for this bill.
Mr. Further remarks, House Bill 1096. Representative Young.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can everybody hear me? I'm experimenting with a new microphone. Okay. I rise in support of 1096. I would like to read excerpts from a letter from a man named Tom Ryan, who was a forester for the U.S. Forest Service for 35 years. At the time of his writing of this letter, he was writing from Colorado to a person in South Dakota. Excerpt will start, "The Forest Service I love is under siege. The country hasn't decided what it wants us to become. The debate continues to rage and probably will for a few more years. And I look back at the Forest Service as we entered a new millennium and compare it with where we were in 1980 or 1990. The comparison is not good in my view. The budget for Region 2, and that is where he is from, has increased from $103 million to $183 million, while the goods and services we provide to the American public have declined markedly. Timber production is down from 350 million board feet to less than 200 million board feet. Forest Service employee presence in the field is virtually non-existent. In 1990, we managed our own campgrounds with summer hires, and now it's being done by concessionaires, contractors, etc., but not by the U.S. Forest Service. We have spent an ungodly amount of the public's treasury producing forest plans that provide the public with nothing in return but fewer and fewer goods and services. We are now being asked to spend even more to increase the weight of these forest plan documents to protect every fly, plant, critter that crawls or walks on a minimum of four legs, but absolutely nothing for the two-legged public who we expect to be underwriting this farce." I skip down. He says, "Do not be surprised to see one or more Western states propose to take over the management of or the downright ownership of federal lands within its boundaries within the next decade. Could it be South Dakota? Don't bet against it." Now, this man spent his whole life in the Forest Service, and he is a part of a large class of forest scientists who are now reaching retirement age and are being urged or nudged out of the Forest Service. I think if you follow the headlines on land management issues, you'll have heard the term war on the West. And people, this is the war on the West. We are being forced off our public land by what I call a death of a thousand cuts. And I'll give you just a few instances of those thousand cuts. Recently, it has been made illegal to go into the forest and cut standing dead snags. Well, that doesn't sound like a big deal. But also recently, there has been an attempt to make roadless areas larger. Now, this is a close one, so listen closely. If there was an area in a forest that had roads in it, and people at the national level wanted to make it a roadless area, even though there are roads in it, they simply changed the definition of what a road is so that the roads that are actually there and are actually drivable aren't considered roads anymore, and so now we have a roadless area and we can lock it up. Now, this is exactly what is happening in Sturgis. The watershed of the city of Sturgis is infested by these pine beetles. An important thing to know about this pine beetle infestation is when these bugs do fly in their breeding season, they fly out from the center from where they are. And fortunately, we have a mathematician in our midst, Representative Heineman, has helped me with my math, that as the radius of a circle increases, the area of that circle increases exponentially. So in other words, if an infestation area had a radius of 1 mile, 3.14 square miles would be infested. If that was increased to 3 miles, then it would jump to 28.28 square miles of infestation. So as this circle gets bigger, the area of infestation increases at an exponential rate. Now, the scientists in the Forest Service know how to treat this bug. You go in and you cut it out, and that is the intervention by man. Man acts as fire in the science of forest management. There used to be fire. Since white people have arrived on the scene the last 100 years, we have chosen to eradicate fire from nature, and the pine beetle problem has become increasingly rampant since that time. So as a management tool, we come in and cut out the bug infestations, and the sooner that we treat them, the better. The smaller the land that will be impacted. In Sturgis, where this timber is now killed and is going to be standing dead, it's not a question of if that will burn, it is a question of when it will burn. When it does burn off, it'll be a hot fire, and the Sturgis watershed will be susceptible to heavy erosion as well as damage by ash residue from that fire. I also would like to call into your attention that in the Black Hills, there has been a huge increase in the number of homes that are being built in the forest areas. We call that the suburban forest interface. And again, the increased fire danger in these areas puts people at risk who have built their homes there. Maybe it was not wise for them to build their homes there, but they're there nonetheless. And one other area of special concern to me is that Spearfish Canyon is one of the hot spots of this beetle infestation, and it is also an area of high fuel load. And a fuel load means that there's a lot of timber in that canyon that could burn. And I would hope that we could get in there and treat the bugs there to prevent a disastrous fire in Spearfish Canyon. So I would urge you to support 1096. It came out of committee unanimously, which was very heartwarming to me. And help us support this war on the West. Help us fight the people who are trying to keep us off our public lands. Thank you.
Further remarks on House Bill 1096. Representative Lentz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll make this very short. I think this is a great bill, and I think it's a statement we need to make. We're allowing people from within this state and outside the state that are a definite minority and a minority of viewpoint control our lands. And I think this is a statement we can all make. I think it's a great bill, and I think we all should get behind it. Thank you.
Further remarks? Hearing none. Question for the House is the final passage of House Bill 1096. Those in favor vote aye, opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the members proceed to vote.
Representative Fisher Clemens. All members present have voted.
Clerk will display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 61, nays 6, excused 3.
House Bill 1096, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed correct.